it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct, it's on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for
dreams. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Anti Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Super happy to be back. We had a great show on Wednesday. Hopefully, everyone got to hear it. If not, go back and check it out on UCY.TV. YouTube channel and listen to it there. And because you know, we talk about a lot of topics here that transcend multiple shows, so we may talk about something on Wednesday of last week and then we're talking about it again here on Monday night, because you know, there's so many developments going on and so many ongoing stories, especially with all this geopolitics that we talk about, ISIS and the war on terror and all these awesome things that are going on around the world. I hate to throw in a little bit of humor there, but you know, we got to when it comes to this really depressing global war that's going on. I mean, talk about a world war. I mean, it's already happening. I mean, the U.S. is already standing, you know, militaries in all these different countries. I mean, there's the main ones like Iraq and Afghanistan. But, you know, we've got military installations in 100 different countries. I mean, it's an empire. It's what it is. That's what we talked about on Wednesday. So make sure you go back and listen to that. You could also, if you're listening on UCY, you could also join us on the archives there and listen to all the old shows. They go back for a couple weeks, and you can listen to those. But the most reliable place is on YouTube. But we got a bunch of different stories to talk about tonight. We're also going to be taking callers. We kind of got pretty open agenda on the show tonight. Anybody wanting to call in, I mean, have at it. There's just a couple rules for calling in here. If you do call in, keep your mic on mute, keep your radio turned off in the background. You'll be able to hear the show once we add you to our queue, and then we'll go to you based on your area code that you're calling in from. Other than that, try to refrain from dropping the F-bombs. You can say whatever else you want. You can say shit. You know, whatever, just don't drop the F-bomb. That's all we ask to keep us on the air. If we get a troll call, we're going to probably hang up on you right away. So, I mean, please don't try to troll us. It doesn't really work very well. If you do want to call us, you can call us 718-717-8296, or you can find us on Skype, the Anti-Media, and tune in from there, you know. And there's all kinds of different ways to hear us, whether you're on the website, on the radio tab, or you listen to us on UCY or on iTunes or on all these other amazing products that are out there, because thankfully we still have the internet. And it's still relatively free despite the censorship and, you know, all the things going on with the CISA bill being slipped into the omnibus spending bill. And we're going to get a little bit into that as we continue on tonight. First, I want to introduce my panel, and we're going to have another guest joining us here in a second. But first off, my co-host, DB Schwartz. What's up, man?
Hey, Nick. You know, this is the first time I can remember actually starting to become politically active weirdly enough, because of this DNC stuff. And, you know, I don't know, man. I think people need to understand that there's a very good chance, regardless of who gets in, we're going to war. But there's a lot of candidates who it's a guarantee we're going to war. And you don't think it was just coincidence they passed a bill that made females eligible for the draft. I mean, they're going to use any able-bodied person they can because they're going to be fighting China and Russia if they get their wish. So on that note, I guess we can say the troubles of the world may hit home soon, and that's kind of a scary proposition.
Yeah. You know, we're so used to, as people living in the United States, we're so used to having these wars being so far away. And, yeah, we get the occasional terror attack, which is very occasional. In fact, you're more likely to be killed by your TV falling on you than you are from a terrorist killing you. But regardless of that, we're so used to having these wars going on so far away, and we're so far removed from them. Yeah, everyone knows a military person who's suffering, either has been injured or knows someone who was killed or someone who has PTSD. I know I personally have people that I know that have mental damage from participating in these wars and stuff. And for us, you know, it's a little more personal. But for a lot of people out there, you know, all these wars are kind of just, you know, out of sight, out of mind, I guess you could say. But, you know, as you mentioned, DB, the geopolitics are really ratcheting up over there with this whole thing with Syria, the tensions between Russia and NATO, the growing strength of China. You know, this stuff has the real potential to become a legitimate World War III. I mean, I'd argue that we're already in World War III by proxy, but we're talking about a legitimate, conventional-style world war where many, many Americans will be drafted. And like you said, they just changed the rules where now women can be drafted as well. So even the women of the country aren't safe from World War III or the next major conventional war where it requires a draft. So I think everything should be done now to kind of prevent that situation from happening. But unfortunately for us, it seems like fear is prevailing out there when it comes to looking at the Islamophobia that's continuously, you know, rising, looking at the support of Trump, looking at what the DNC is doing to kind of put Hillary into the position to become the nominee. Because, you know, Hillary is just another one of the war candidates. In fact, Jake, who's also on the call tonight. How's it going, Jake?
Pretty good, Nick. Hanging in there.
Jake wrote an article not too long ago about how Hillary Clinton should run as a Republican. And there's several reasons for that, but most importantly is her neoconservative foreign policy. And I saw an article a few days ago, late last week, about how, in fact, Hillary Clinton, Marco Rubio, and I believe it was Ted Cruz, are all being advised by the same consulting group on foreign policy, you know, and so it's not really a shock that they all kind of line up on foreign policy, because they're all being handled by the same military-industrial complex lobbyists.
And it's all Stratford, and people need to research who they are. I mean, honestly, dude, just go to Deagle.com. They're kind of their subsidiary. Most of the people that are in charge have a bleak outlook for the future of this country because why? They're traitors. So don't let these people make our decisions for us. If anything, man, this current election, people need to get out and vote, even if they write people in, and get pissed off when these complete oligarchs get in and continue these dynasties.
Yeah. You know, and Stratfor, as you mentioned, is one of those companies. They're a real big contracting company. Not many people know about them. They were hacked recently. I believe it was it was Jeremy Hammond and then a journalist, Barrett Brown, that kind of covered it. One guy hacked him and then a journalist that covered it. Well, guess where they're both at right now? They're both sitting in prison cells. They found out that they were doing all this deceitful stuff, Stratfor and all these other contractors, and none of them were punished. You know, the contractors are fine. The people that exposed them are rotten in prison. It's kind of like the Snowden situation where it's like, you know, you expose the wrongdoings and you go to jail for it. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of, at this point, it's kind of become expected of this empire that we're kind of dealing with right now. The first thing I want to talk about tonight is this interesting, and this is not very new, But it is very relevant, especially now. It's Banksy's Christmas card. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this, but I posted it up on the Anti-Media earlier today. And it's kind of really telling, I guess you could say. But Banksy came out with this Christmas card a while back. I believe it was first came out in 2005. But it's still really relevant because it basically shows the story of Christmas, but it shows the people from the Christmas story that are kind of migrating, Joseph and Mary, and they're trying to make their way to Bethlehem, but they're blocked by a giant wall, which is what would happen if this story were to, be going on today. They're blocked by a wall that separates Israel from Palestine. And so this story, it's the latest story on the Anti-Media. I suggest everyone go look at that because it really does bring some perspective to the whole human migration phenomenon that we have going on right now. Because, we're at a time in history where we haven't seen human migration at this level since World War II. In fact, there's some estimations that show that it's even worse than World War II, because it's not only coming from Syria, it's not only coming from Lebanon and Libya and Iraq, but all over the world, man. There's just so many struggles going on, so many wars and so many fights, and so many people being displaced around the world. I mean, the numbers are up towards the hundreds of millions. When you include all these different conflicts around the world, many of them going on in Africa, and again, as Americans, we can't really, think of this as, oh, well, it's their problem and stuff. Well, no, like a lot of this stuff is caused by us, and it's being done with our tax dollars and that kind of thing. So we definitely have a vested interest in trying to make sure that there is peace in the world, man. I mean, what's it going to take? I mean, it's
going to take releasing Tesla's tech.
It's been so long, right? And yeah, I mean, energy is one of the main reasons, resources, why they fight these wars and cause destabilizations, and ISIS, of course, it has a very shady background, and many people suggest that ISIS was, created at least initially as a tool for U.S., geopolitics over in the region to secure oil and topple Syrian regimes and things like that. And, that case can be made pretty easily. A lot of this stuff going on, it's preventable, we don't need all these wars going on all around the world. We don't. But as long as we allow these greedy assholes to be in charge of things, well, this kind of stuff, we can kind of expect it to continue. And if it comes down, if the U.S., presidential race comes down to Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, well, guess what? The same exact shit's going to just keep continuing on.
And there will be a draft, dude. I mean, I've continually told people, if we get into a big conflict with our super minuscule military, I don't think people understand. We literally have nobody in our military. Like, our military is less than 1 million people, and they get 50% of our entire GDP. So they have plenty of equipment for young grunts, and I should say just people to throw in the meat grinder to use, and they will use them, man. So if you're a person that's on the fence and you think you have somebody in your family, I don't know, between 18 and 35, they're going to go off to war if you don't vote the right person in, or better yet, if we don't take our whole system back.
Yeah, dude, exactly. And so we got to start taking this stuff personally, dude, and that's kind of what the meme was about tonight on for the show promo. It kind of showed back in 2013, we rallied around this idea of no war with Syria, and the people were against toppling the Assad regime, and the majority of Americans were against that. And then in 2014, it's like, oh, well, now we have ISIS. And now you got a bunch of people more or less saying, yeah, let's just go bomb ISIS, and there was a poll that was done among millennials recently that showed like 2/3 of them support bombing ISIS, but at the same time, most of them aren't willing to go fight themselves. And so it really is kind of a sad state of affairs here. Even the millennials have fallen victim to this propaganda and stuff. And that's exactly why Trump is getting so much traction, is because people are buying into this crap. even though it's mostly unfounded fears that he's playing off of.
And they couldn't fight, Nick. Let's be honest, dude. We're protected by high tech, and high tech goes away with one EMP. So we're literally in a paper fucking tiger. Sorry to use the F-bomb, but we're in a paper tiger ourselves. People talk about Russia having an old military and China, you know, being 20 years away from us. What do we even have if they EMP us? A bunch of people on their smartphones that want guns to be illegal? That's what we're going to have to contend with these dudes?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's a good point, dude. Our military is basically, you know, of the budget, we know that the guys out there that are actually fighting, and then, of course, the veterans aren't taken care of very well. They aren't paid very well. Most of the money goes to tech and or to, like, contracting firms and stuff like that. So we don't have that much of a conventional military as you know, what you would think about in a major ground war left. You know, we do have a very small number of troops. In fact, you know, I think the North Korean army is bigger than the United States military numbers-wise. You know what I mean?
Even the Japanese army now that's been reinstated is getting up to our troops numbers. And this is somebody we supposedly conquered. I mean, we're living in a matrix top to bottom.
DB, over one of my Christmas presents is going to be Annie Jacobson's book, The Pentagon's Brain. And it's
good,
because
that's the only one I don't have.
Yeah, she's great, but it's the whole thing is about everything that's going on with DARPA and how it you know, it interconnects with the military. So you're right about the – I mean, certainly an EMP could take out a lot of traditional weapons right now, but – you know, really, good God knows what kind of weapons they have in store right now.
Well, I know they have. I know they've been talking about super soldiers for like 80 years, and I'm sure we've been genetically engineering all kinds of God knows what hybrids. But when it's all said and done, man, it's always going to come down to people on the ground, mostly foot soldiers. Once the tech gets basically knocked out, and we're really, I mean, there's a good reason why they've built 200 plus underground bases. When shit gets hot, they're going underground. They're gonna leave us all up top, dude.
Yeah,
so
you're right. Yeah,
you know,
I think we're gonna have to go the direction of Jurassic World and program some raptors to go hunt, fight our wars. You know,
there you
I'm
go.
Sure,
man.
They're working on it.
There you go, and the raptors can come out in a press conference with the stormtroopers at the White House.
Yeah, may the excessive force be with you,
man. That was that really to me was like I. Over the weekend, I was setting up the Anti-Media Facebook page for all the posts for Saturday, and I saw that story. I saw the video. I didn't believe it, man. I thought it was satire at first. I'm like, no way in hell that the White House would have stormtroopers come out. And then I watched the video, and I was like, holy shit, this really happened.
We're post-irony, man. We're post-meta, post-irony. We're in the Matrix. It's just a different kind of Matrix.
Yeah, I literally thought that video was like from The Onion, and it was just like photoshopped or something. And I was like, oh, okay, you know. And
I was half expecting to hear Obama had appointed James Earl Jones to Secretary of the Force, dude.
You know, Hillary ended the debate on Saturday with "May the Force be with you." You know that, right?
That's what I heard. I didn't watch it, thankfully, but that's what I heard, man.
Yeah.
The other thing about that whole stunt is that, like, what in the hell is the White House doing promoting movies? You know what I mean? Like, why are they helping?
Why is Obama with Bear Grylls having a freaking powwow out in a tent, dude?
Yeah, that was weird too. Obama was on Survivor. What the God? What kind of predictive programming is that? Are they saying that we need to learn to be survivalists because the apocalypse is coming?
You got to learn to drink your own piss, apparently, with Bear Grylls. Anyway, we're joined tonight also with one of our awesome journalists, Claire Bernish. What's up, Claire?
Not much. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. Just discussing this crazy state of the union, I guess you could say.
Well, yeah, the whole world. It just seems like everything is so surreal and so topsy-turvy, there are no words to describe it any longer. I mean, stormtroopers in the White House and, you know, games of social control in China and, I mean, just any number of things.
Sooner or later, we're going to have a radio show where it's just like 60 minutes of silence. Like, we're not even going to say nothing. We're just going to be like, look, things are so messed up right now that we're just not even going to say anything.
Yeah, we're just shocked. we just have to sit here in shock for a little bit.
We're gonna be like that cat in the meme, the drug war video meme that we posted a while back. The cat with his jaw just like wide open, flapping. Oh man, it's so crazy. So Jake and Claire, you guys are both awesome journalists with the Anti-Media. So I mean, I don't have any particular stories I want to talk about tonight, just because there's so much going on. The debates just passed. Stormtroopers in the White House. come to find out, a lot of the brass in the military were already fed up with Obama's plan to arm Syrian rebels, and so they were just kind of like working behind his back to coordinate with Assad and Russia to like make sure that ISIS wasn't going to take over Syria after they toppled Assad. I mean, stuff is getting so crazy out there, and I definitely see some cracks in the ranks, and I know me and DB have talked about this recently and many times. Everything is not all going part of the plan. I mean, they have this big geopolitical strategy. The neocons have been cooking this stuff up for a long time, and yeah, things in Syria are going slightly to the plan. I think they're definitely having. There's definitely people like trying to dissent from what's going on. Really, sorry about that noise. Apparently, we had a troll caller, but he's gone. You know, people are trying to dissent from what's going on, and there's major cracks in the apparatus going on. And there was a recent letter signed by a bunch of top brass at the Pentagon saying that they don't have any faith in the plan to deal with ISIS and stuff. And I mean, by all means, look at the events unfolding. Yeah, they don't have a plan to deal with ISIS.
They don't know how to airdrop with that S-400 system in place.
Yeah, I mean, that too. And Russia has kind of foiled a lot of the plans over there to topple Assad, and it doesn't look like Assad's going to go. And now there's a bunch of these hardened Islamic rebels over there that don't want to coexist with Assad. So they've really created a situation over there, thanks to the geopolitical strategy of perpetual war. And, you know, there is one group that is benefiting from this. And Claire, you wrote an article about this. I believe it was last week. But, you know, the military contractors really love this stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they're kind of this group, what's it called, APPS, Americans for Peace, Prosperity, and Security, or something like that. They're guiding all the candidates basically to make sure that perpetual war is in place and part of the basically presidential platform. You know, they're saying things like, oh, the next president's going to be a wartime president, and they're just making sure that war is embedded in American thought going into this election because, you know, it's here to stay, as if we didn't know that already. But they're looking out for their own monetary interests, of course.
Yeah, and you know, anytime, I mean, what was it, after the Paris terror attacks, there was a major spike in the stock prices of a lot of these companies that supply the bombs and the planes, like Raytheon and all these companies, Boeing, Lockheed. You know, they make money when this stuff happens. Whenever there's a likelihood of there to be an increase in bombing or invasion or whatever, you know, they go ahead and make a lot of money. You know, and that's what they do. And so this
actually, if you look at the GOP debate that happened, I did kind of a brief article on it, but they mentioned like ISIS and war and all these things like a gazillion times. There's this video linked on there that does a rundown of all the, basically all the belligerent words that they used. And it's insane. I mean, how much this is being kind of hammered into the paradigm right now.
Yeah. And there's no doubt that this GOP debates kind of function as a propaganda arm for the military-industrial complex. And as you mentioned, the last GOP debate, I mean, they mentioned ISIS like over 100 times, I believe it was.
Yeah, 107 times.
And, you know, bomb, 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 terrorism, terrorism, war, war, war. I mean, this is like, you might as well just watch the one-minute condensed version of the debate where they just talk about how many times they say that stuff. Because that's what it is, you know. And the 2012 presidential debates, Republican debates, same thing. I mean, it's just propaganda, war propaganda. Get everybody stirred up, get everyone scared. of the Muslims, and you know, then once that happens, they're all dehumanized, and then we can just go bomb them, and no one really cares about it. No one gets mad, you know. And that's exactly what's going on right now. Obama is in charge of the military that bombed a Doctors Without Borders hospital. I mean, last week we bombed the Iraqi army, killing like over seven troops over there. I mean, these are supposed to be the guys that we're fighting with to help fight ISIS, and we bombed their troops. You know what I mean? No one gave a shit. No one really cared.
That was an accident, Nick.
Oh yeah, accidentally. Yeah, so they say. Anyway, since we have Jake and Claire both on the line, I want to go over to you to see what stories you want to talk about. I know Claire had one really big story earlier today, so let's go to Claire first. Which one do you want to talk about?
The China, you think?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that story is awesome. Claire, I tweeted that at Cory Doctorow, by the way, hoping that he would get some traction on it, because the gamifying currency is really fascinating. But please go ahead.
This scared me the more and more I read about it. So China has instituted something called Sesame Credit, and it's it uses game psychology and kind of the gaming format more or less to keep track. Right now, it's keeping track of people's credit history and like their purchases and their spending, and it's already scary because people can check each other's credit and what they spend their money on and such. And people get, you know, better points and more points towards their profile, which is tied to their national ID card, if they're buying things that the state approves of. Now, where it gets even scarier is that it's going to be linking in people's social media profiles and things that they post. So in the future, if people post things that are political opinions that are not state approved, then they'll be knocked points down. They'll be penalized, basically. If they post things that are state approved, then they get bonus points, which are also incentivized for things like collateral free loans and, you know, whatever, travel permits and things like that. And this is all fun and games right now, and in 2020 it's going to be compulsory. So everybody will not have a choice but to participate in this, and basically it's using, you know, social pressure and just groupthink, basically, to make sure that people are doing what the state approves of, to be obedient slaves to the state. And it also tracks who your friends are and who your family is and penalizes you for if they are posting the wrong things. So it even incentivizes you to drop friends that are doing things the state doesn't approve of. I mean, this is insane.
You know, to me, it seemed like a great tool for like self-censorship and stuff like that. And as you mentioned, the whole factor about your friends. And so, like, let's say you have a friend that's like kind of a activist or someone that kind of speaks their mind over in China, and they may develop a low credit score because they're not as loyal to the state apparatus as you are. Well, because you're friends with them and because you have a social connection with them, well, that's going to drag down your score. And, of course, you don't want your score being low. You don't want people thinking you're not a patriot. And so then you say, okay, well, I'm going to unfriend this person. I'm not going to be friends with you anymore because, you know, you're talking too badly about the state apparatus or whatever. So it's also a way of isolating people that speak freely or may have a little dissenting views against what's going on. I mean, this program and the fact that it's going to be mandatory by 2020, I mean, this really is going to seal the fate of China. I mean, this is really, really bad. And as DB was mentioning earlier, you know, when it comes down to it, in the near future, if we come into a major total war with China, well, guess what? You're going to be dealing with a bunch, you know, a billion plus people.
They have more men 18 to 45 than we have citizens.
Yeah, all fighting age men. You know, we're going to be dealing with a highly, highly controlled population that is, in theory, highly loyal to the state apparatus. And more or less, you know, when the propaganda kicks in China, if they get into a major war, think about it, you know, we saw what happened in Japan with like the kamikazes and the nationalism and stuff. I mean, the same exact kind of propaganda can be used in China, and you're going to be talking about, a you know, 300 million men willing to fight and die for the state apparatus.
And it's really scary, because they're not only using like the idea that you should stay away from the people that are bad because they're going to pull your score down, but they're using these kind of gimmies, like with loans and travel things and all sorts of different, like, basically rewards, so that you'll be you're incentivized to get rid of these people. So imagine what happens if we do go to war. Imagine the kinds of incentives and rewards they're going to be offering people at that point.
It's a scary prospect, you know, and this article really did shake me. And you know, one of the sources that we used in the article kind of hints at the fact that, hey, I think it was the ACLU link, that, you know, America, you better take note of this, because sooner or later they're going to have something similar here in the U.S.
Oh, it'll happen here. It'll just be, you know, fun.
Yeah, it'll be like, hey, do your friends hate freedom, or do they love freedom?
Yeah,
NFL tells you to take your guns and give them to the government.
We're gonna have pretty low credit scores, guys.
If they hate freedom, then they're talking bad about surveillance, because if they don't like surveillance, then they obviously hate freedom, you know. Anyway, you know, there was an app that was making major waves a couple months ago here in the U.S. In fact, and it was almost like a Yelp app for humans. I don't know if you guys saw that a while back, but this article kind of reminded me of that. But there's definitely an app in the works in the United States that's about to be released, that is more or less going to allow you to rate people that you meet, like friends and you know, acquaintances and stuff. And you can write Yelp, more or less like Yelp reviews about people. And it definitely is an interesting prospect. And I think, to me, at first I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know, like, you meet people and you can go check out their Yelp ranking, and it's like, oh, this guy's a fucking asshole, or this person's awesome, or whatever. But in the end, you know, there's definitely some Orwellian, some very Orwellian implications to this app. What do you guys think about that?
Just think about like what happens on social media. I was just saying today, I just posted a status today on Facebook, because I go to Twitter now for a second before it is like the most utterly defeating act of just, I don't know, just, it's horrible, because people have their own opinions of you no matter what. If you're going to have an app where people rate you, they're going to do it so arbitrarily. I don't know. That's just nightmarish to me.
It sounds like, I hate to keep bringing up Cory Doctorow. I obviously have an intellectual man crush on him, but he wrote a sci-fi novel that had a social-based currency called Woofy. And this Yelp thing you're talking about sounds similar to that, where your credit basically is based upon an aggregation of different people's viewpoints of you and little actions you can take that build your social credit. It kind of sounds like that. And this was a dystopian novel, by the way.
Yeah, and so what's going on in China here is very much in a similar vein, but it's the ranking is based on how loyal you are or how beneficial you are to the government, more or less. And you know, when we talk about major wars, we talk about World War III, we talk about the future of, you know, the United States conflicts and stuff. Even now, when it comes to the U.S., if you question the troops, if you say, hey, maybe the troops aren't doing what's right, maybe they aren't protecting our freedom. Well, you're already in the United States, you're already labeled as unpatriotic. You know, you already hate freedom if you say anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Even though freedom is, it also includes freedom of speech, which may be a bit uncomfortable for some people. But I mean, it's already happening here. The social pressure is already there. I mean, how many people in public dare speak out against something like what is going on with the military occupation of Iraq? Or maybe even Abu Ghraib, you know, and back when all that scandal popped off. I mean, how many people were able to speak about that stuff in public freely without wondering if people around them are going to be like, oh, well, this person hates the United States, they hate America, they don't like freedom, you know. And so, you know, it's already happening unofficially here in the U.S., but I see this app in China, or this gamification of patriotism, becoming something that's already unofficial here in the United States, becoming official with something similar. And I think that's why the ACLU made their article very, very much in that vein, is because they're worried that it could happen here as well. You know, and that is something that is very terrifying, I guess you could say, very Orwellian. And one of the,
you know what's funny? I have to say this, though. You know what's funny in the ACLU article, though? He was, the person who wrote their article was criticized for kind of almost fear-mongering about it, because people were like, people were in disbelief that it could possibly happen here. And yet, if you look at like our credit scores and, you know, social media, and it's actually happening in different factions in different areas already. So I think he had a really good point, but it was funny that people are already criticizing it. Like, they believe it can't happen. Every time people believe it can't happen, that's usually when it does.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's already happening here. It's just not organized. Go ahead, DB.
Dude, I was just going to say, man, the social media aspect's already spilling over into the real world. I mean, you're talking about people that they'll make an opinion, however misguided, however stupid it is, and then people will go, oh, well, good luck working at wherever, because they look at their Facebook posts and people put all their information on there. And then these psychopaths with nothing to do all day in their mom and dad's basement probably go call the people and get them fired, man. And that's the world we're living in. You can't have an absolutely original thought anymore if you're not your own boss. And that's a scary, scary proposition. Can you imagine China with 1.6 billion people where there's maybe 100,000 actual elites in China, and you have this mass of people that are absolutely cowed by a tiny minority. And they're doing it to themselves, and that's what they want us to do. If we ever actually united and band together, they're sorry to use the F word, but they're out of luck, man. So that's what they're trying to prevent, because no matter how much tech they throw at us, with 7.9 or whatever how many billion people are, we could take the planet back tomorrow. But so many people are so scared, so docile, so much cognitive dissonance, they can't get anything going.
Hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, man, the fear sells, man, and that's exactly why Trump is excelling in the polls and stuff, dude, because he's tapped into that fear, and a lot of it's misplaced. And again, it goes back to the economic factor. We delved into that deeply on Wednesday. I don't want to go back into that again. But, it's a very frightening prospect. And as you said, it's there unofficially. It's already happening. It's just not being organized like they're doing it in China, because China is much more, at least for us, you know, it's much more their censorship, their control over their society. It's much more visible, and from the outside looking in, the average American's like, oh my God, China is horrible. Look what they do to their people. Look at, they have this great wall of censorship, the great wall of the internet over there in China. But in the end, I mean, they're more public about it.
They're homogenous, Nick, and that's what they're trying to do to us in a multicultural society, a hodgepodge. They're trying to make us all bow down and, you know, basically curtail to the political correctness. And it's okay to think differently, and we'll get through it organically and disseminate all these horrible ideas and all these old prejudices. But that will come. That's already happening right now with the free flow of information. So when they try to throw out a narrative, when they don't tell you about things that happened like yesterday with the Las Vegas thing, trying to overshadow it with the Miss Universe bullshit, that's all their way of creating a narrative of the world for the low information consumer.
Exactly, man. That's the thing, is that we don't, you know, here in the US, we have such a strong propaganda arm that we don't have to be like China, where it's like, okay, here's our great wall of censorship, and you guys just can't access these websites, and you can't access this information. You know what was trending number one on Facebook in the whole United States today, earlier? Miley Cyrus. You know what I mean? I mean, so
in America, we have something called the panopticon. We don't need a state apparatus to wall us in. We do it to ourselves.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so we don't have to spend as much time on censorship as China does, but I mean, we got such good propaganda that we don't even got to censor shit. Fools are searching for Miley Cyrus. They're not searching to find out about how their cell phones are being tapped, which was a great article that we published today on the Anti-Media by Derek Brose. There was a whistleblower that recently came forward showing all the different tools that are being used by the U.S. government. And I'm going to go ahead and list them off here. First of all, I'm sure most people already know about the Stingray. We've been covering that just continuously on the anti-media. The Stingray has been used by local police to kind of scoop all digital communications in a given area. But thanks to a whistleblower who leaked the information to The Intercept, which is Glenn Greenwald's publication, we found out about Cellbrite, which is a portable, handheld, field-proven forensic system for quick extraction and analysis of 75% of cell phones, smartphones, and PDA devices, capable of extracting information such as phone book, pictures, video, text messages, and call logs. The Kingfish, which is a Stingray-like device, portable enough to be carried around in a backpack. The Stargazer, an army system developed to deny, degrade, and or disrupt a targeted adversary's command and control system, which can jam a handset and capture its metadata at the same time, pinpoint your target's location. And it also may jam other phones in the area, including your own. The Cyberhawk, which is capable of gathering phone book names, text messages, media files, text, deleted text, calendar items, and notes from 79 different cell phone models. I mean, this is some very Orwellian stuff, and this is the stuff that people should be, you know, this is the information people should be seeking out. It's like, oh, there was a new whistleblower, and dude, we just found out there's a bunch of people, you know, there's a bunch of different ways they're able to spy on our phones and stuff, but no, people are searching out Miley Cyrus, you know what I'm saying? And so we don't need the censorship when people are obviously, you know, more concerned about that kind of stuff than they are about their own civil liberties, you know. And so that's a very interesting, you know, prospect and a very interesting way of dealing with dissent. It's like, yeah, look, we can deal with the fact that we have a couple hundred thousand activists, maybe a couple million, depending on the topic. And you know, yeah, maybe there's more people concerned about Shamu than they are about, you know, civil liberties and stuff. But, you know, still, at least there are activists out there worried about stuff. But in the end, it comes down to the fact that it's such a small percentage of the population that it really does become kind of negligible. I mean, when's the last time activists really shut down something or made something happen? I mean, the Black Lives Matter movement is doing a great job, I think, with the police brutality issue and racism. But in the end, the reforms aren't as big as we'd like. I mean, back in 2013, there was the big No War with Syria movement and stuff, and I believe that had an effect. But in the end, the propaganda prevailed, you know. And you know, we're still bombing in Syria, you know, and we're still doing what was going to be done regardless. Yeah, we didn't get to go topple the Syrian government directly, but the things that they were trying to do are still being done. You know, and so I think that a major part of trying to make a breakthrough here in the United States is getting people to not be as distracted by Miley Cyrus and all this other crap, and be more concerned about their civil liberties. But the question of the big question is, like, how do we go about doing that? You know what I mean?
Culture jamming is one way. That's we gotta really up the game on culture jamming. That's something I want to do with video in the near future. You know, using kind of these social media platforms and some of these newer, you know, kind of data files, you know, like GIFs and whatnot that can really jar you, you know, really break the cognitive dissonance. And I think, yeah, I had a sci-fi idea I was working on a few years ago, and I think it's going to be fairly feasible within the next 10, 20 years of the idea of a meme that is quite literally a viral meme that can go through devices. And I think we're going to see technology like that. I think we're going to see, like, hacking in the future is going to be a lot more personal. I'll put it like that. But go ahead.
I agree with you, man. There's some really hard-hitting memes out there right now, but I was just going to interject and say that I know a few activist groups that I think are living like a lifestyle that, you know, I think it's about living a lifestyle of activism and doing things every single day to, you know, I think it's all or nothing, a lifestyle or nothing. New Era Detroit are some activists that are just so incredibly active. It's just inspiring, you know. They're doing things where they get everyone in the community to support an independent business. Like, they're holding activist group meetings, like, with a local market, a local, you know, like a little store in Detroit, and they're just having all these events and doing all this stuff. I think that's what we need to do. Like, get up and really do some hands-on activism, have some, you know, meetings, do stuff like that.
That's certainly a large part of it, yeah.
Somebody's got to set a template, man, because, I mean, all of us here, we're still living conventional lives, but we don't want to. So I don't know if we need to pool together 50 or 100 people, and maybe we can do it in the U.S., maybe we do it somewhere else. But,
like Peru? You know,
I mean, maybe Peru or maybe wherever. I mean, wherever there's abundant natural resources in a government that's weak, like it should be. I mean, that's where it needs to be. The fact that we have a federal government is everything. It's against everything the founding fathers wanted, period. Which, let's be honest, they were some psychopathic people, but at least they were trying to go with Thomas Aquinas's, you know, teachings and give everybody natural rights. So we need to kind of strip it back down to the primal, get back to using high tech to get off of this grid, to be able to grow our own food, purify our own water, make our own energy, and then we can tell these asshats that wear these $5,000 suits like Trump, you know, screw off, because we don't really need them besides for infrastructure. We really don't.
Hey, DB, your Patriot credit ranking just went down a few notches.
Yeah.
No, actually, my Patriot credit rating went up, but my federal credit rating is like negative 5,000.
Yeah, we're gonna repossess your phone, bro.
Good. It's already owned by a Japanese company anyway. Well,
you got to think, man, you know, the term patriotism has been co-opted, and you know, nowadays you question the government and you're unpatriotic. And even though, you know, in reality, I mean,
kind of the opposite of what it is.
In reality, it's kind of the opposite, but you know, we got to keep in mind we're in the modern day, you know.
Double speak,
double think. Hey man, be careful. Orwell's over there rolling his grave right now. You know, if we found a way to attach like some kind of generator to Orwell in his grave, we'd have unlimited energy. We'd have no more wars.
That's a centrifugal Orwellian death motion. Yeah, there we go. That's a technology.
That or Kissinger's anus.
I have no clue what you meant by that, but
if unlimited power.
Maybe we could attach it to Donald Trump's mouth. Jake had a great article today about how Donald Trump, according to fact checkers, has more or less never even said a word of truth.
No, they just amended it. Like I literally, while during this show, they amended it. He had literally told not one true statement, and then they just added one. Something
about his toupee.
Yeah, it was about his ass. No, it was. He said American polling shows Russian President Putin has an 80% approval rating. Apparently, that's true, but that's the only statement he's made that's completely true. 6% is mostly true, and then everything else. Well, 17% is half true, and then literally everything else is mostly false, or pants on fire false, which is a very bad form of false.
Now, you know, and I saw a comment on the page today, and I kind of took note of it, but one guy was like, this isn't true. Trump said that the world would be a better place had Gaddafi not been deposed and had Saddam Hussein not been overthrown.
That's a subjective statement.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I mean, he's probably right about that. You know, he's probably right, and I agree with him on that. I think,
yes, me too.
I think that Gaddafi should not have been overthrown. I think that we should not have overthrown Saddam Hussein. Now, I also think we should not have helped Saddam Hussein come to power as well. But we should not have overthrown Saddam Hussein. But again, that is a subjective statement, and therefore it's not based, you know, it's not based on facts. It's kind of just like, you know, what if, you know, and probably, you know, he's probably right, but the facts aren't there to support it. And so, man, dude, it's crazy, but you know, almost everything Trump is saying is just bogus. And the thing that just scares the shit out of me is that how many percentage of these Republican voters actually support him? And I saw a poll, I saw an article today from the LA Times that actually was making the point that Trump's support may actually be higher than what it is showing in the polls, because a lot of these independents that are leaning Republican actually support Trump even more than the Republicans themselves, which itself is even troubling. But it just kind of goes to show that people are willing to latch on to any kind of comfortable statements, even if they're not true. You know, when Trump says that the majority of Mexicans that are coming up, the majority of Mexican immigrants are like rapists and killers and stuff like that, and like obviously that statement was untrue. When he said that most Muslims kind of identify with violent jihad, that obviously wasn't true. But these are statements that, you know, people are latching onto because it's convenient for them, because they're looking for a scapegoat to blame on, you know, why their lives aren't going the way they'd like them to be going. Well, it's convenient for them to latch onto these bullshit lies that are coming out of Trump's mouth. And that to me is a pretty, you know, frightening prospect.
There seems to be a kind of groupthink. It's almost like we're projecting onto Trump. There's this groupthink obsession with speaking his mind. Oh, he speaks his mind. He speaks his mind, and everyone loves that. It's almost like we're projecting on him because everyone else in their lives are so scared to speak their mind of obvious truths of what we know about the falsity of American life and American exceptionalism. What we know is patently false about this illusion that we've set up. It's almost like we're now projecting upon Trump that he speaks his mind, even though really all he's doing is spouting platitudes and hate speech. It's a very interesting
thing. But I think that we have to have, so knowing that this is the psychological principle that contributes to Trump's success, how can we make our ideas that we feel are better for society become accessible and satisfying to all these people who really don't have the same, you know, desire to know these things as activists? You know, I think that we have to strengthen our culture and just whatever strategy possible we can utilize to make this cultural change. You know, we just have to hit it hard, you know?
Yeah, man, it's tough, dude, because people are lazy as hell. You know, they want to sit back and they want to just, you know, they want to just sit back and wonder like, oh, well, why in the hell is my life not going the way I'd like it to be? Well, Trump says that it's because of the Muslims. Yeah, he must be right. You know, it's so easy to fall into that mindset, and such a lazy way to think. But unfortunately, I hate to say it, man, but I think the majority of Americans are kind of falling into that mindset, you're falling into the Trump circus or whether you're falling for the Hillary Clinton bullshit. I mean, one or the other. I mean, a lot of Americans, let's not say most, but let's say a very huge chunk, are just so lazy that that's just, you know, that's what they buy. They buy into it because they don't want to think for themselves. They don't want to do research. They don't want to go out there and find out really why. Oh, do they really want to go investigate the Federal Reserve and find out, oh, that's why the economy is so messed up? And they want, do they really want to look at all these true, you know, motivations behind the geopolitical strategy of the world, the United States Empire, overthrowing governments for oil and all that? Do they really want to find out those inconvenient truths? Or do they want to sit back and wait for some asshole on TV to say, oh, it's because of this, because of that, and say, yeah, he's right.
Yeah, right. To make agorism accessible.
I just saw something that would be relevant that I think you might appreciate. PolitiFact actually gave Trump the Lie of the Year award this year.
Yeah.
For his many campaign misstatements.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll add that to his trophy stand.
I'm sure.
It'll probably boost his poll numbers. I hate to say it, but it probably will. Hey, he might be telling lies, but at least he's speaking his mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah. God, I'm so sick of hearing that.
DB, what were you going to say, man?
I don't even know, man. It's all just a cluster.
And we'll drown in it. We'll drown in it if we don't make our culture stronger than theirs. We'll drown in it. We have to, man, by whatever means necessary.
You're right.
To organize our ideas, hit it harder, build our culture up, not get drowned in the distractions. We have to be soldiers, warriors about it, man. That's how I feel.
Shit. You're right, man.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. I agree with you completely, man. Even if, you know, even if it is a small number of people at first that we organize and we get things going, and shit, even if we do wind up like the Japanese did in World War II in internment camps, I'd be happier like that, wound up, you know, caught up in the herd with Trump and fascism and all that crap that seems to be rising right now.
Well, let's use the lady. Yeah. let's use the lady in Las Vegas as an allegory. This is a lady who was unemployed, had a 3-year-old, that was told to keep moving, you know, from parking lot to parking lot in these casinos because she was sleeping because she was unemployed. She couldn't get work. When's that going to become you? When are you going to become depressed and drunk and tired and say fuck it? And check, when's all that going to hit ahead, dude? I mean, when's it going to hit ahead with your family where you're going to actually care?
Right. I've asked that question before on Facebook. There was a friend of mine that, you know, was just kind of like, I don't know, almost de facto against any kind of revolutionary action. And I said, well, what would it actually take for you to take to the streets and actually just, you know, really just actually physically start dismantling the system? What would actually be required? And he said he didn't know. And but, you know, I guess dismantling is maybe not the best way of looking at it. I think Cassius, I think the way you're looking at it is the right way. It was, we have to create these systems that are going to replace the old systems, and then we have something we can point at, you know.
Yes. You got to be strong. We're not strong people right now. We're not strong. We have to build up our strength and be there for each other, build our structures up. It's when we're all burning in poverty equally and we all have nothing, we can't, you know, assist each other a tiny bit to build our stuff up and build our stuff up. But once we start, and we started, you know, this is what we have right now. So, you know what it is. We just have to keep pushing.
Great points. Great points. Someone the other day made the comparison to like a sports stadium, and it's like, well, yeah, you got a crappy sports stadium, you know, and it's becoming outdated and it's, you know, becoming inefficient. But you still got your team and stuff, and you still like your team and all that. You know, you got to build them a new stadium, you know, and then you can enjoy that for the time being, you know. And I look at that in the same way with the society, man. We got a outdated system. We've got a system that's become inefficient. We've got a huge bureaucracy that's kind of robbing us of our resources and that kind of thing. Well, the only answer, the only viable answer, and the only thing that people will actually, you know, people in the mainstream are actually going to accept is if we build up something new that's better, that they could eventually abandon the old stuff and join the new team, or, you know, join the new structure, join the new apparatus that we've built, you know. And Cassius, I think to your point, man, I mean, you make a great point, dude. It's, we got to build up some stuff that makes sense to people, that works for people. We got to have working models and that kind of thing. And it's up to everyone out there to start doing it everywhere you're at. You know, we got people listening in how many different countries out there, every state in the country, all over the world, Europe, Asia, you know, Australia, the UK, South America, Mexico. We got people listening from all over the place. You know, it's time to just start stuff up wherever you're at. Start where you are with what you have. Do what you can. And kind of, you know, start there. And if it starts working, it starts building and it starts gaining momentum, well, good, you know. And they may try to come crush you down, but other people will grow up in your ashes, you know, and that's just how it's going to be.
Where do you start? Grow a garden. Start with a garden. Make your own food. There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's a...
Grow your own weed, too.
Yeah, there you go.
We see there are people that are already doing this. We have to look to the people that we don't know that are already doing it too, and take examples. You know, the Houston Freethinkers, Detroit is doing it. Like the activists in Detroit right now are active. They're doing marches every week. They're like holding events to support businesses in their community. It's crazy. It's
absolutely
the kind of activity,
dude,
that we need. Yeah,
there's tens of thousands of communities and people around the country, around the world. They're doing this. It's just decentralized, and I guess for right now, that's the way it you know, it has to be right now. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is stuff that's being done. There's just such a gargantuan opposition to it right now that we also have to think strategically on a different front, which is how to disarm, you know, the power structures.
Exactly. Great way to end the show. Make sure you catch us on Wednesday. We're gonna have some awesome topics and guests. Thank you all for tuning in. The Anti-Media Radio goes 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, same place, same time. Catch us on UCY or on Anti-Media at the radio link. Peace out, everybody. Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.